is a celery die. Extra!
Sales red meat. That's what it is. Red meat that you can take out into the street 1 minute after you hear it and turn it into money.
In a New York minute?
No, actually, Jenny, in a Jersey minute. And today's Sell or Die Extra is brought to you by...
This is Christy Walters.
And I'm Jeff Bajorek. Together, we host the Why and the Buy podcast, and we are pumped to be a part of the Sell or Die podcast network.
The Why and the Buy is a show about tackling sales and leadership challenges that salespeople and small business owners face every single day.
While we have a lot of fun doing it. I'm a dad. I'd like to think I'm not a terrible dad, but I'm a dad, and I make bad jokes.
I love it. That's what happens when you start a podcast.
If you like making a lot of money and being super successful, then sure, I suppose.
Jeff and I have been there. We've lived through it, and we're here to share the lessons we've learned. So subscribe, rate, and review us on Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Stitcher, or wherever you get podcasts. And remember, when you know your why.
Your hows and your whats get much better. We'll talk to you again real soon.
And mic drop.
It's Friday, and that can only mean one thing. It's time for the best of Sell or Die.
The best nuggets of sales wisdom every week. All in one place.
A sales slap in the face. A sales refresher.
I feel refreshed.
I can tell. And if you want to go back and listen to the full episodes, we've made it easy. There are links to each of the episodes right in the show notes.
If you love the podcast, if you're a true seller diehard, and you haven't given us a 5-star review on iTunes yet.
What are you waiting for?
Seriously, Friday is the best day to do it. It helps us so that we can help you.
It's time for the best of the best, the cream of the crop, the creme de la creme, sales grade A red meat. It's time
to sell or die.
Diehards, yes. Say hello to the great Jason Hartman.
We advise people on their investments. And then, of course, I also am, you know, quite an investor on my own from my own account.
Mm-hmm.
But the business helps other people, helps the public invest. And, you know, we get the vast majority of those through the podcast. And you know, like in your little red book, you talk about, you know, it's about value. It's about, mm-hmm. all about the relationship, not about the price. And so, you know, we just try to give them a lot of value for free first, and then they come to us and they raise their hand. And, you know, that's what you got to do as a salesperson. You know, farm your people, you know, send them articles, send them resources, share things with them, let them know you're thinking about them. The only get rich quick thing in sales or investments or anything is a boiler room operation. You know, it's the Wolf of Wall Street. Okay.
Yeah, a bad wolf.
Yeah, you don't want to be there.
Who's afraid of the big bad wolf? So, anybody with money.
So if I'm in a diehard with disposable income and I'm looking for a place to park my cash, what's a typical or minimum dollar investment that you recommend?
About $25,000 to do it with us.
Mm-hmm.
And you can buy one property.
And what does that get you? Like, what for $25,000, what is the typical return?
It'll get you a decent house in a B-class neighborhood, not an A-class, but a B-class, not a C-class that's really, you know, crappy, or a D-class. And typically, the overall return on that investment, because it's leveraged and you have this, what I call a multi-dimensional asset class that creates your return, it'll be over 20% annually. But of course, you know, nothing's guaranteed. The market changes. Sometimes renters don't pay their rent.
Wow, really?
Imagine that. I know. And sometimes you have to evict them, and sometimes they thrash your house, and you got to do fix-up too. But, you know, over time, we found that income is pretty reliable. Investing for income, investing for appreciation, not very reliable, not very reliable. And so so that's the difference. You know, it's about the slow process of earning an annual return,
mm-hmm.
not about, you know, buying a house, selling it, and making $30,000.
Flipping it, as it were, in the marketplace.
You know, what I've always found, it's interesting about that, is, you know, I've done many flips in my career, mm-hmm. and I've watched many other people do lots of flips, much more than I have. The people who flip, they have spending money, But the people who buy and hold, they have real wealth.
That's interesting.
Spending money ain't bad, but real wealth is better.
Right, right.
I think it's important to note that if you're looking at the real estate marketplace, there's what do you want to own yourself and live in, and what do you want to use that might produce income for you?
Yeah.
Right.
We're very fortunate in that I have invested in real estate a long time ago here in our building in Charlotte, North Carolina, but we occupy everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it we pay rent to ourselves, but the bottom line is that it's a great valued asset that right. anyone who's out there in real estate land needs to contact Jason to make sure that they're at least doing the right thing.
Right, right. Yeah.
You bet $25,000 or $50,000 or $100,000 of your own money, mm-hmm. you better be on the right side of the roulette wheel.
For sure. Yeah,
exactly. So, but the one thing we can definitely say for sure, it will never go to zero.
Right. Yeah. People still need a place to live. Yeah. Okay, so you just like hinted at ups and downs in real estate, and I think we're all aware that there are definitely ups and downs. What do you do during a down economy? We always talk about, you know, not blaming the economy, not, you know, whatever, but how do you maintain and excel when the market is sort of against you?
Right, right. Well, the market is never against you for very long. You know, there are up cycles and down cycles. If you're a salesperson, there are times when people are buying more and buying less, but there's always an equalizing factor. For example, if you're in real estate and the market turns into a buyer's market where properties are sitting on the market and not selling, typically that will cause other competitors of yours to get out of the business.
Mm.
And it'll cause them to pull in their horns and spend less money on advertising and marketing. If they have staff, they'll cut staff, right? And so the part in the economy that always kills people is the adjustment phase. And that's usually in pretty much anything, it's about a year or two. And then the equalizing factor comes into play. But at first, there'll be that part where, things have gotten bad, things have gotten slow, and then, you know, you've still got just as much competition as you had the day before that happened, right? And so that'll last for a while. But, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, success is largely a matter of hanging on after others have let go. And so, I'm going to attribute this wrong possibly, but I think the actor Will Smith, you know, he says, look, there are people that are smarter than me, there are people that are better than me, but I'll just outwork you.
Diehards, say hello to Arden. Things that they can avoid so they don't mess up. They don't need that bomb ball, whatever.
Drunk pictures.
No bueno.
No drunk pictures.
So they have to go back and edit their own Facebook.
Yeah. Or you really do. The best button is allowing your public image is up to you, each of us. It's up to us. And somebody posted a picture of me one time that was at a party and I looked trashed. And I was just dancing and I had like a drink in my hand. It was water. But I looked hammered. And I was like, nope, unpublished. Because I have to approve everything before it goes out because perception is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're caught in one moment of crazy dancing and you've got a drink in your hand, suddenly it's, she's drunk, she's doing this. Oh my gosh, she can't represent me.
Yeah.
And I can't trust someone, whatever the world we live in. That's a big thing, is watching what your images look like, having the approve button on your Facebook. Instagram's better about that. Like,
yeah.
But really being honest with your friends of, my public image is everything. That's my biggest one is
public image and reputation.
And reputation. Yeah. So reputation is hard. It's keeping your mouth shut. People want your opinion all the time. This is my experience with the person. And if I trust you enough to share my experience.
Yeah.
But really, it's none of anyone's business what I think of anyone else.
Mm-hmm.
I always try to give business advice, but never personal advice.
Yeah.
I think, though, that the world is changing where they don't just want to know business. They want to know personal. Like, right. I want your tips, but I want to know who you are as a person, especially on Instagram, to determine if I want to work with you.
Right. And I mean, I have plenty of personal on there. And it's figuring out where to put the personal. Like, I don't need my fat cat Skippy John on every story. Or on every Instagram feed.
I can't post Charlie and Zoe in every story?
Yes,
they're so cute.
But really, think about it. What if somebody doesn't like dogs and they're like, cats are worse. People think I'm a crazy cat lady. I am. I have the best, fattest cat in the world, and I think he's great.
Oh, my
but
God.
You've got to figure out, like, what goes on your wall, like, your feed, and what goes in your story. And then highlighting. Some days I'll have too many stories, and people are like, but there are a bunch of clients that I'm trying to put in my highlight folder. So it's figuring out how to use everything to your benefit.
Let me tell you how old I am. When you said what's on my wall, I thought, like, what's in the background on your wall as you're doing an Instagram Live or a Facebook Live? And what's the art like? And what are your books in your library? Because those are also visible, and you're vulnerable by them.
Yes, you do have to watch what's in the background. I mean, people, the little, smallest little details I'll go through, or women, when you take pictures, fix your necklace. When it's over your boob, like, that is my biggest pet peeve with photographers is when you've got, like, a long necklace and it's covering.
Drawing and it's in a line.
No, it's drawing one around one boob around the other, and it's not in the center.
Horrible. I don't know what's worse than that.
Are you being facetious?
Yes,
a little bit.
But but it looks messy. Like, I am a person of detail, and it's someone didn't take care of her. A flyaway hand.
Well, the photographer should also be the director.
Right.
Yes.
And say, you know, fix it.
And it's finding the right photographer, because not every photographer realizes they're a director.
Do you think women photographers are more cognizant of that than men?
No. I think it's they're so focused on, and I've talked to photographers about this. It's part of my job to prep the client, but a lot of times clients are so focused, or photographers are focused on the big picture that the small little details are going to get past them.
Someone came in here to do a shoot, and she was pretty good.
Julia Faye,
she's good.
She's amazing.
Yeah.
You know who was amazing at that too is the Paris photographer.
Yeah,
he would be like,
every
pick your
detail.
Shoe up just 1/8 of an inch.
Yes,
and I'm like, how big is that?
Yeah, yeah, and my photographer is very good at that. She's like, hand here, but.
Mm-hmm. I'm friends with Mitchell Carney, who's a Charlotte photographer.
Yes.
He would make me shave right before the shoot.
Well, yeah.
I mean, he was so immaculate about
it. He is very immaculate, yeah.
And he's good.
Yes.
In fact, he took a picture of me in 2003 that we still use.
I think you need to update.
Luckily, Jeffrey still looks the same.
Oh, okay. I was like,
But he does need new photos.
I do like current photos just because it's more trusting.
We have some current, but
okay.
And I'm going to get a shoot soon.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm going for shoot. Probably going to use Mitch.
Yeah, do it.
Good friends.
Yeah, you got to trust your photographer and have a relationship with them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Motivation Monday.
So you have to know the person well. So, Jeffrey, let's talk about how do you get to know them on that level so you know exactly what you could send them that would make their heart pound.
Stop making sales presentations and start asking questions. That's the easiest way to learn about another person. You can't learn one damn thing about them going through your slide deck. And I have recommended for years, just mail the person the slide deck the day before and go and talk to them.
You need to have a sincere curiosity about getting to know the other person.
And you can't be a cheap bastard. Like all of these gifts, you know, they're not cheap, but they're meaningful.
Totally.
And what's the value of meaningful? And the answer is it's priceless. I don't want to go MasterCard, but it's definitely priceless. And I think that the impact of it is also lasting. Like Brooks has done a lasting thing, and Goodwin has done a lasting thing, and Walls has done.
And it's like 20 degrees here today in Charlotte, so I'm gonna be taking that
tag
off and wearing
that
hat.
Exactly. and they're fun. Like if you do something right for somebody, they'll remember you for a long, long time. It's not a bottle of wine. It's not a gift card to
a bottle of wine if you own the vineyard and you label it with their name on it or do something fun like
and you sent them
for the Gittimer family or
right,
something.
But I don't think that's going to happen. So alcohol's out.
Yeah.
Just do something. as small as it is, it doesn't matter how big it is. It matters what the value of it is to the person. I don't look at any of these things. How much did this mug cost? $1,000? No. $50? Probably less, but it doesn't matter what it costs. What's the value of it?
Right. We're going to think of Ken Walls every single time.
Like we don't already think of him enough.
We pick up this mug. I mean, that's what's the value of that?
So to Ken Walls, it's priceless. And so there's emotion attached to it. Mm-hmm. You know, if I say find something personal, do something memorable, the memorable is the emotion part. So if you're only giving your own corporate gift this year, you know, whatever it is. And I would also buy John Ruland's giftology book.
Yeah, that book is great. May I have a tissue, Jeffrey?
Yeah. Thank you. Tissue, I hardly even know you. So John Ruland does gifts, and we'll probably have him on the show. I think it's the right
thing
to do.
Yeah, we've had him on. I know, we'll link in the show notes to that previous episode, but yeah, we should totally have him on again. I agree.
He's phenomenal.
Yeah. So, you know, some people find it hard to ask the questions and get to know someone. And some people, you know, might be introverts and they're scared or shy to ask those questions or fearful to ask mm-hmm. those questions. But the key in forming that relationship is actually getting to know the person and finding out, you know, who their family members are, you know, what they care about, what their hobbies are, what they like to do, where they like to go. You know, those are the important things that you need to find out so that you can create a cool, creative custom gift.
Yeah, let me throw something at you as a caveat. Many companies now, they cannot accept corporate gifts, so you're going to have to deal with that policy. But the ones who say they can't accept it, I just found out something yesterday. They can accept something under $25. And so the sales manifesto book was $24.99. I got the literally, I got to give it to somebody, and they were happy about it.
That's so funny.
Just under the mark.
Exactly.
Just under.
We put it there on purpose because we knew the $25.
This is funny. Our listener, Teresa, that's not Teresa. I think he's John from D.C.,
yeah.
Says, long-time listener, first-time watcher on Facebook Live, had to hijack my wife's account to join. Thank you for doing that. We love yeah. it. That's awesome.
I think that even if a company doesn't have that kind of $25 restriction, you should place that restriction on yourself, not to save yourself money, but to encourage your creativity. Because
oh, yeah.
it's a lot harder to find something meaningful under $25 than it is over $25. So I say place that on yourself and challenge yourself to find something that's memorable for
all
less
right.
money.
I
for
have other a $25 people. Gift I, limit on Doug's gifts from
yeah,
here on out.
But I am a, if you're thinking about getting me something, there is no limit.
I am like $25 every day.
I'm a size
yeah,
extra
exactly.
large in Eagles gear at Mitchell & Ness.
Oh my goodness.
This has been a Sell or Die Extra. If you like it and you like the show and you like all the information that's inside of it, go to thegittimerlearningacademy.com and subscribe. What are you doing? What's this noise?
I'm going to GittimerLearningAcademy.com to subscribe.
Way to go. Way to go. You can also subscribe to Sell or Die on Overcast if you have an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to the store and get an iPhone. Or if you don't, go to iTunes or Stitcher and come back every single Tuesday for a full Sell or Die episode with expert sales analysis that will help you do the one thing you're hoping for, make more sales.